As you guys know, we talk about the first one, living the hope of this moment. We're not living, looking in a future hope like the earth teach us, or earthly wise talking that they teach us, living that hope, that expectation in the future, or anything like that. No, we are we're living in the living hope of Jesus Christ. He's living in us, in our hearts, and we're living right now, this moment. We're not waiting or looking for anything right now, because we believe that He's in our hearts and He's controlling everything that we're doing right now. Also, like last Sunday, we were talking about anger, because when we are living in expectation or something here on the earth, and that expectation is not happening because it's our own expectation on the earth, then when those expectations don't happen, then we get frustrated, and then anger starts taking control of our hearts and mind. And I want to clarify something from last Sunday, something that happened, maybe a clarification just in case if I say something maybe in a different way, and I want to clarify just to make sure that everyone here and also people that are watching us online or stream over there, just to make sure that I'm not saying anything wrong. And it was that moment when Jesus Christ get a little bit frustrated and get into the temple and throw the tables. And we're talking about that His expectation over there, it was that the temple, it was for prayer. And He was referring a prophetic word from a prophet in the Old Testament, that the house of the Lord, the temple, is for prayer, not for selling, not for marketing. And Jesus Christ, He's in His expectations, He get frustrated and He get mad and then throw the tables. And I was comparing that because I was asking God why He didn't react the same way when He was going through the crucifixion. Why He didn't ask, or He didn't react the same way when He was getting all beat up or when He was crucified. Why He didn't show any frustration in that moment. And that was the question, because in that moment, Jesus Christ, He was doing the expectation of God in that moment. And you might be asked the question, but why He was not doing the expectation of God when He was going into the temple? Well, if we go really quick, I want to show the scripture. I think it's John 12, Yaeli. John 2, sorry. Should be over there in the beginning. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, He found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And at the end, He said to those who sold dove, He said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market." So His disciples remembered that it was written, "Seal for the house will consume me." So the seal of the Lord, that being seals of the house of the Lord, the expectation of Jesus Christ in that moment, it was like, this is supposed to be for prayer. Yes, the situation over here is that Jesus Christ, you can see in the whole scripture that He was showing sometimes that He was also in His body, reaction, emotion. He was crying, He was hunger, He was also crying for His friend. He was also crying in that moment, and also He was sweating blood, according to scripture, when He was in the Gethsemane and say, "Father God, please pass, if you can, pass to me this cup." That was His body. That was His body reacting to the emotion of that moment, and He's saying, "But I don't want to do my will. I want to do your will." So the same thing, I was asking God, why you didn't react that when you were going through the crucifixion? And it was the word of God that I received in my heart, it was that because I was doing the expectation of my Father during the crucifixion in that moment. Yes, He was also doing the expectation of His Father in that moment in the temple, but He was manifesting that anger, that frustration in His body when He threw the tables. I hope that makes sense now. Hopefully. Amen? Okay. Yeah, like the scripture said that Jesus Christ was not found in or find with any sins in His body. It was not without sin in His flesh. So He was clean, purified, without any sin, which is teaching us that we are also capable to do that. That we can do that. That we can live and walk like Jesus Christ walked. that we can have our Father God and also Jesus Christ in our hearts, and we can walk the same way to defeat the enemy, to defeat the flesh in our life. So that way that's not controlling us. But the teaching from last Sunday was pretty much about expectations that you have in your heart from the world versus their expectation from your Father. That will not bring anger in your life because it's his expectation, not yours. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's continue. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, the scripture that we are sharing from this Living Hope series. It says, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. In his great mercy, he's giving us that opportunity of being birthed again. In what? Into a new living hope, a living hope, which is Jesus Christ. How is going to be that happening? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the way. Now, he's mentioning another thing in verse 4. And also, in other words, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all these things that we just share right now from verse 3 through 5, in all these, you greatly rejoice. Through now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I'm going to stop over there. Today I want to talk about inheritance. Because according to the scripture, it says that this inheritance that Jesus Christ, God, Holy Spirit, is presenting to you, it never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's really interesting how Peter is sharing with us through this letter those three things. For me, it's kind of a correlation. He's trying to say to the people and saying, hey, if you have an inheritance in your life, in your heart, physically, on the earth, I want to show you the comparison of that versus what I'm presenting to you from God. And that one that maybe you have it in your heart and in your mind, which is the one over here on the earth, will perish, will fade, will be spoiled, will be getting contaminated, in other words, will get corrupted, in other words. It will get damaged because that's the inheritance that the world is offering to you. Now, if we talk about the normal physical inheritance that you and I already know from maybe fathers or mom and dad, or maybe anyone out there physically, and also in the Old Testament, you can see that. We can talk about that inheritance is something that you will receive from mom and dad, and mainly the inheritance is related to a land. Because the land, it will give you some power, sustainability. It will give you life to you continue living over here. Now, Peter, I don't think he was just talking about physical. I think he's talking more depth over there in your heart and mind. Because you and me, we're living in a life right now. In the Old Testament, you will see that physically, but in the New Testament, you see that Jesus Christ and also now Peter over here and other ones, they were sharing that inheritance, but spiritually. And if we pay attention to the scripture, it says that it's in heaven. Now, it is in heaven. It is there. And according to scripture, God is protecting that for you until the time comes. Is that preventing us to live in it right now here? I don't think so. It's the same thing of the eternal life. We're talking about sometimes about the eternal life like it's something over there. Hope over there. Right now. We can live it right now. We can live right now that inheritance, that blessings that we have from God. We can live it right now here on the earth, in your heart and in your mind. that will change everything around you. And also inside of you, inside of your heart and mind, it will change everything. Let's start going deep into this. Scripture, Proverbs 13:22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner, wealth, is a store up for the righteous. A good person. Now I want to go to Luke 12. And this is Jesus Christ showing to one man a principle about inheritance. Luke 12:13. Someone in the crowd, say to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." What's going on? Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator? Between you." Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool.'" Ay, ay, ay. Here we go. I love Jesus Christ. "This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but it's not rich toward God." We should be just close the Bible, pray, and then go home and try to think about that. Say, like, wow, give me a second. Because again, that's including myself, we tend to get too attached to the world stuff, to the heritage or things that we have out there, or maybe something that, possessions that we have. And we know that that's going to be all temporary. Going to be all damaged at some point because it's not eternal. It is not eternal. It's not going to be something that is going to endure forever or anything like that. The one that he's offering to you, Jesus Christ and God, is one eternal. It is one that is going to endure forever. Not the one like here on the earth. Now, when we change the mind and we say, the possessions that I have over here, is that going to control my heart and my mind? And I'm going to leave with the possessions from him or with him, that's going to change everything. And there's a good revelation of this because I think the question that we can ask ourselves, it is that this man, the rich man, you can see 17, he say, he thought to himself, "What should I do?" Himself. "I will turn down my barns and build bigger ones." Question. Are you turning down your barns or the barns from him? Because when we change the mindset and we see or say ourselves, the possessions that I have, I don't own them. It's not yours. He allowed you to have them. He is the power, the authority, the creator, your Father God, that allows you to have a job, that allows you to have a business, that allow you to have a roof, that allow you to have economy, financial, money, name it, to sustain your family and your life. When you have that heart, that is not yours, that is Him, that is providing Him, He's the one providing you everything, then you can do what the Scripture says about stewardship and manage it correctly because it's not yours. Remember the story when Jesus Christ is giving an example and a parable and saying, the Lord of these servants gave to this guy 10, to this one He gave 5 gifts, and then to this one He gave 1. And depending how they were managing those things, He will bless in them and give him more. That one, the last one that have just 1, He say, I was just scared about you because I know that you, I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to mess with you right now. I just want to make sure that I'm going to store these over there, and I'm not going to multiply that. I'm not going to do anything with that. I'm not going to invest in anything with that one. But the other two, they invest. They put it, and they work on it because they understood that that was not from them. It was from Him. And there, they, with the hearts of the stewardship that God gave to them, they managed that correctly. And then God put them in a good place, because when you are faith in the little things, He will put you in the highest place. Because you're showing Him that in these small things, you're faithful. He will move you to the bigger things. Always having with the heart and mind that is not yours. The healing, the provision, the protection, it's not you or anyone else here on the earth. It's Him providing that to you, to your life. He's the one. And when we understand that in our hearts and mind, that will change everything. It will change all the things that we're seeing and manifesting in our life. And all the glory to Him. He will control everything. Micah 6, 8, it says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Simple. To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Having the humble heart to understand that the possession that you have is not yours, it's from Him, that will allow you to act justly, righteous with other peoples. To share the blessings, the possessions that He's giving to you, and you're sharing with everyone because it's not yours, it's Him. Ephesians 4, let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 11. Hallelujah. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may build up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown there or blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes or scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds up or builds itself up in love as each part does it works. Helping each other, supporting each other, understanding that what I have is not mine, is His, then I can manage that correctly. I can be a stewardship, but I'm not talking just in physical possessions. I'm also talking about your heart and your mind. You have a gift from God. What are you doing with that? Are we just coming here every Sunday and that's it? Or are we really using that for His glory, for His kingdom? He gave you that. Invest on that. Use it for the other people. Bless the other people. I'm not for sure that you're getting exposed every single day and second with something in your life to bless someone. Maybe here, maybe at work, maybe in your house, maybe in some place. We need to use it. We need to move forward and use that gift that God gave you so that way you can continue blessing His possession, not yours. Most of the times we pray to God to remove or resolve our problems. He shows us how we need to change and grow in our attitude toward them. This isn't the answer we might expect or want, but it is the most effective way to find God's hand in our life. That we ask in Him in prayer, just change my attitude over my problems and situations. Sometimes we just pray and say, remove the problem, remove this person of my life. Yeah, I know. I have my secular job and I have my experiences, I know. And sometimes we have those hard times and difficulties. And we have the manifestation of our flesh. Sometimes they want to do the will of the flesh, or maybe the enemy is trying to do something in your life, in your heart. But then when you have the heart of God in you, everything starts changing. And start taking control of your life. And then you start speaking His will, His possession. And you're blessing the people, encouraging the people. And you are getting encouraged at the same time where you're seeing His glory manifesting in that person. Or in that moment. So we need just to change that mentality of praying to God, remove that. No, change my heart and my mind, my attitude towards that problem, towards that situation, towards that person. Because that will change everything in my life. Christ united in His person the two different parties in this story of that parable. God and man, and satisfied the injustice that caused the separation. The Holy Spirit is God's seal of our belonging to Him. And His deposit or earnest money guarantees that He will do what He promised. He is a down payment or deposit, a valid signature on a contract. His presence in our life confirms that we have genuine faith and proves that we are children of God. Now, His power transform our life, and it is forecast for or of the total change we will experience in eternity. So in Ephesians 1, let me go Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:11. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. We all have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have it, today is the day to receive it. Because the Holy Spirit is giving you that seal, that promise, that heritage that you will receive at some point. You are just getting it, according to Scripture, it's kind of a guarantee. It's like a deposit. Let me just give you this little bit. And that little bit, I don't know for you, but for me, it's amazing. Praise God. Imagine what's going to be over there. And right now, we are just manifesting in this moment, through the Holy Spirit, His blessing. All the blessing that He has for us. The first point that I want to share with you guys today, Psalm 37:11. It says, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. And the first point that I want to share with you guys today is meek. Do we have the heart? Do we have the heart of a meek person? The scripture, you can see in the Greek, original Greek of that word, Jesus Christ also was saying that He was meek and light His burden. That was the original Greek of that word. But the scripture in Psalm is saying that if we have that heart, you will inherit the land. We're talking about spiritually. And when we're talking about the land, we're talking about the kingdom of God. The manifestation of His kingdom in your heart and in your mind right now. We don't have to wait. Yes, after, when we go to heaven, we will enjoy that in a massive, more bigger picture. We will experience maybe more. But right now here on the earth, we can experience those blessings, the kingdom of God right now in our hearts and our mind. But we have to have the heart of a meek person. And if we do not have it, let's pray to God to change our hearts and mind to be like that so we can receive this blessing, this inheritance that we have. Also, Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek. Why? For they shall inherit the earth. The same thing. Land, earth. Inherit. But we need to change that heart. We need to change that mind. And sometimes we know, you know, I know. That's why we talked last Sunday about anger. Because when we have that frustration in our life, anger starts taking over. But no, if you have God in your heart, then the authority of Jesus Christ, it will control the anger of your life because you're living His expectation. That's having a meek heart. Tranquility, right? I can use that word. Rest. Confident that everything will be fine because He's on His hands. You're living His will, not yours. You're living His expectation, not yours. And that will control everything in your life. And that way, according to Scripture, you will inherit the land. You will inherit the kingdom of God. You will inherit the earth. Philippians 4:5. The same Greek word, let your gentleness, meek, be known to all men. The Lord is near. Let's manifest that in our life. James 2:5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith? And to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him? Let's go back. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world? Physically, maybe the people are correlating poor not having possessions, right? I have I didn't use it too much often like before, but sometimes I know Rudy listened to me sometimes when I say, hey, God bless you, millionaire. Remember? And people, the first reaction when they receive that is like, whoa, what are you talking about? I don't have money like that. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you have a roof. You have water. You have food on the table. You have a work. How many people right now in the world, they don't have those blessings? You have enough of for you to continue living, right? You have a possession. But also, if you have a heart of God, if you have a God in your heart, a Jesus Christ in your heart, what else do you need? What else we need? He will start bringing the other stuff. According to Scripture, don't worry about that. Just worry about the kingdom of God. And the other things, He will start just putting it by itself. Don't worry about those things. So when we have that heart, that's a millionaire. You have everything. Everything you need. I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about that you have everything to live with you, with your family, and enjoying the life that God gives you right now in this moment here on the earth. There's a thousand, millions, billions maybe of people right now that they don't have that blessing. Let's be gracious and merciful. And that's why James in this scripture, he say, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in what? In faith. And to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him. Because you and I, we have that mindset, not physical poor. We have whatever we need in our hearts and our mind to continue living. The meek, also it can refer to humility, God's favor, inheritance of the earth. We already mentioned that, rest for our souls. That's why also the scripture in Revelation 21, we can see all the scripture. I'm not going to read that one, but you can go home and read it. You can see that it's talking about new heaven. It's talking about new earth. It's talking about the new Jerusalem. It's coming down. Why? Because God, it will be removing all the tears. It will remove all the mourning, the pain, the death. Everything will be removed. That's the inheritance that you and I will receive. But right now, you can start living it at this moment. Having God in your heart, you can start receiving those blessings in your life. You don't have to wait until you go to heaven. Start enjoying it right now. You have it right now in front of you. Most important, however, is the parents' responsibility, you and I, to make sure children are aware of the inheritance they will receive if they follow Jesus Christ. Parents, including myself, we are responsible to teach the children about God's expectations. Again, we are responsible. We just have little kids. They don't know what's going on, maybe. They're just growing. They're just learning. And we are responsible to show them what is the inheritance that they will receive if they follow Jesus Christ. Not the inheritance over here on the earth. That's fine. We can show them that. But the most important one is Jesus Christ. That's the most valuable one. And the scripture in Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Recommendations, considerations from the Bible to you and to me. I'm going to try. Deuteronomy. Ay, hallelujah. 6:6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lay down and when you get up. Praise God. The scripture is also talking in Mark 10:13. People were bringing the little children to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ says, don't hold them, because the disciples were holding them. Ooh, what are you doing? Don't do that. The kingdom of God is, they know how to manifest the kingdom of God. And you guys, the disciples, and you and me right now, as of today, we need to change our hearts and mind to have it as a children, as a kid, so we can manifest that kingdom of God in our life. Also, the scripture says in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father, and I mean Jesus Christ, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus Christ talking. I'm going there. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And now we'll be back. And I will be united you with me. So that way you can be with me. And that's the inheritance that you will receive in your life. But all these things will happen if we have a meek heart. Hallelujah. Understanding that our possessions are not ours is his. The second point that I want to share with you guys about Luke 12, it says, reach towards God. How we can do that? That's that question that I was asking him. How we can provide to you? Because according to scripture in Luke 12, at the end, verse 21, it says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves. Possession on the earth, you're storing everything for you. I was just thinking, and I hesitate about the name of this sermon. I was almost called it the 401k of God. So, 21, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. What does that mean? Okay. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, not what you want, two different things, you will abound in every good work. Hallelujah. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gift to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. Because it's his, it's not mine. And will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity, will result in thanksgiving to God. It says everything there, right? He's the one providing you everything. He's the one providing me everything. He will increase everything. He will do everything. I just need to understand that it's not for me. That it's not my own possession. It's not my strength doing everything. It's his. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, but in the living hope, Jesus Christ, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Simple. He's the one providing. It's not you. It's not me. It's not my employer. He's the one. And if I manage that correctly, because he's blessing me, and then I start giving to the other ones, that's his money. That's his possession. That's not mine. We are just need to be stewards of doing this correctly. So that way we're not going to be like that guy that he received just one and didn't manage it correctly. And then he was removed. And according to scripture, it says that he was thrown in the lake of fire. And what he got removed, it was given to the one that he have 10. That's meaning that we need to manage this correctly. Talking about gift that you have in your heart and in your mind, but also talking about the possessions that he's allowing you to receive in your life. Manage that correctly. But it's also talking about the good deeds. That's our responsibility. How you can make or reach towards God. Good deeds. Perform good deeds to everyone according to his will and according to what he is giving to you. The last one that I want to share with you guys today, treasures in heaven or treasures. Because right now we are building, but we don't know if our barn that we are just breaking and creating a big barn to start storing all the 401k over there, putting all the stuff over there, is based on our possessions, is based on our mentality, is our own knowledge, our own understanding, our own things, and put it over there. Or are we building a barn for God and putting all the treasures over there? Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. I'm not saying that. Jesus Christ, the Bible, God, he's the one saying that. Where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in where? Hallelujah. In heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Just one of them. When I grew up, I learned how I can say it. I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm not going to say it. We say it if you cook. No, that's fine. If you cook two animals for your food at the same time, one of them is going to get burned and not the other one because you are just focusing on one. And you might be saying, I can multitask. I can do both at the same time, right? But the terminology over here is that you're putting all your focus and strength on this. So the point that I want to share with you guys about this is that or you can focus in God or in the money. But you can manage both at the same time, and your heart will be towards one or the other. Now, if your heart is towards to God, and this is secondary, you're just managing his possession, his money, because your heart is with him. It's a different story. Now, if I'm just focusing in the money, in the possessions, in what I'm making, my barn, I'm storing up for, you know, my stuff, my family, myself. I'm not saying nothing wrong about that. I'm just saying that I truly believe that our heart is supposed to be towards more to God than the other stuff. Simple. That's the whole point of the message is that his priority. The other stuff is secondary, and that will be getting along or getting together at his time. He will do, or he will take care of you. He will do it. And the point of this scripture in Matthew 6, 19 through 24, he's just sharing over there that depending on your good deeds, how you are reacting, your attitude towards everything else, that will be storing treasures in heaven. But if you are prioritizing things over here on the earth over God, then you are storing for here, for earth. Will that have inheritance for you? No. Because according to Scripture, it will fade, it will spoil, it will be corrupted, damaged, contaminated. It will be all damaged. So that's what the Scripture is trying to teach us today. That we have an inheritance in heaven. That you can live it right now as of today. And we manifest in those 3 points in our life or principles that can help us to live a better life in His presence. I'm going to leave you with this one. 1 Timothy 6:9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Number 10, again, pay attention, for the love of money. I'm not saying that the money is the problem. The problem is the love. Because He's love. And when you are removing that from Him and put it towards another thing that is not Him, that's controlling you. That's taking all your energy, strength, authority in your life and not God. You are removing that love, which is His love, and then you put it over here to the possessions and money. The Scripture says the problem is the love of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. He's the creator. He's the owner of gold, of everything. Again, let's just leave it to Him. Simple. And He will control everything else. That's the inheritance that He wants us to understand and live in our life. He already declared a word to you guys. Maybe a year ago, a month ago, a day ago. Maybe, I don't know, 5, 10 years ago. And you can sometimes feel like that's your inheritance. And sometimes you may be asking, I'm not seeing that proclamation, prophetic word, or anything that He said 10, 5 years ago, 2 days ago. I don't see it. And you feel like, that's my inheritance. I'm believing in that. I'm trusting in You. But where is it? I don't see it. And today I just want to share with you guys that He's there. He's working, but He's on His time. And you know, I know that at least for me, I have experienced it. Maybe 10, 20 years after that, you can see the story in the Bible. Abraham, according to Scripture in Hebrews 11, you know what? Sorry, I want to go there. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8, if I'm not wrong. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he will later receive. As his inheritance, God proclaimed something to him. He said, go, leave your town, your people. By faith, according to Scripture. God, I'm just going. I'm just trusting in You. And when the Scripture says that, it reminds me all the prophecies that you and I will receive from Him. Obey and went. This is Abraham. Even though he did not know where he was going. God continue blessing you. God continue talking to your life. That's your inheritance also. He's proclaiming something to your heart. Just believe. Have faith. Yesterday, I was in a coffee shop in Wheaton. And I was just in a corner over there waiting for Jeanette to get biscuits, right? And I was just there drinking my drink over there, just watching everything, everyone, enjoying the moment. And this guy from nowhere, from nowhere, he just got over there and he say to me, I contact my friend and he's supposed to be here maybe around 12. Do you think I should wait for him? 12:14. Maybe. Just wait for him. He might be arrived. And then he started encouraging me from nowhere. I don't know that guy. He's just over there. And he stretched the hand. He presented to me. And I feel like it was just God talking to my life. Because when I saw him and before he started just saying something, I felt like inside of me, the voice of God telling me in my heart, this is me. And I just look at him and I just like, okay. And then he just say, I'm here to wait my friend. And we're just looking eye to eye. And I say, okay, I know this is you, God, talking, because you already told me. And then he say, do I should wait for him? And I say, yeah, why not? I just look at the clock and say, 12:14. Yes, wait for him. He should be on his way. Let's just. And then he start encouraging me with some words. And I'm just receiving that word from God. That's my inheritance. And I'm receiving and I'm trusting in that. I'm having the faith that what God put in the heart of that man to myself, I'm going to continue walking on that. Like Abraham. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting in that. And I know he's doing the same thing with you. I know. Continue walking. Have faith. I'm just here to encourage you and also declaring in the name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit is touching your heart, your mind, and he is encouraging you right now at this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, God. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for the authority. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Father God, I want to ask you to please, if it's your will, continue blessing everyone in the world. The people that they don't know you, I send your word in the name of Jesus Christ right now to bless them, to touch them. Angels from heaven, from the kingdom of heaven, from the kingdom of God, we declare that they are touching hearts and also Holy Spirit, and they are protecting, providing in the name of Jesus Christ. God, Father God, please bless these people here. Touch their hearts and their mind and bless all their needs. Continue helping us and teaching us to be like your son Jesus. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you. And we declare all these things in the name of your precious son Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Like always, they're going to sing. They're going to do a worship song. But if you